Hey everyone, welcome to the Behind the Scenes podcast. I'm Jeremy.
And I'm Audrey.
And on this podcast, we share the messy, honest, unfiltered, and not so curated parts of our life.
Think of this podcast as a bunch of bloopers with some truth bombs sprinkled throughout.
That's right. We're going to be taking you behind the scenes of our daily routines, our social media feeds, and what you may or may not have seen on TV.
We're going to be talking relationships, family, faith, business, basically whatever we are learning about, fighting about, or laughing about lately.
We're going to be sharing our daily life, our struggles, successes, and our roses and thorns from each week.
And we don't want this podcast to just be about us, so we're also going to go behind the scenes with some of the people who inspire us the most.
We hope this podcast feels like you're joining us for a campfire.
Come hang out.
Welcome back, everyone. We got an interesting podcast today, babe.
Yeah, we're going to talk about one of the chapters from our book that's titled Losing the Purity Battle, which is probably one of the hardest chapters
maybe
for us to
the
write
hardest chapter yeah
in the book
for sure. It took a lot of thought and effort, and well, I think ultimately
transparency and vulnerability.
Yeah, I think ultimately, you know, Aj and I, we just, when we were writing this book, we were thinking, you know, the world doesn't need another highlight reel. And if we're going to, you know, help people and share our story, we wanted to share it in its entirety and do so in a way that, you know, was respectful, but also useful. And I think we did pretty good. Because, on the book
people,
tour.
Yeah, I was just going to say, it's been probably, you know, it was the hardest chapter for us to write, but it's probably been one of the most impactful chapters for people that have come up and talked to us during the book signings, just saying how it's what they needed to hear, how it's really helped them, or how it's helped them have honest conversations with their boyfriend, girlfriend, fiance, or spouse about things they've never talked about before or didn't even know that they should be talking about. So,
yeah.
You know, we wanted to just bring awareness to the issue of purity and get people talking about it in an honest way, especially within people that are married or people that are dating. Because if you don't talk about it, how can you set boundaries around it? How can you protect your purity if you're never having the honest conversations about it? So that's what we wanted. That was kind of the goal with this chapter. You know, we titled it Losing the Purity Battle. Although we were virgins on our wedding night, we realized that we were fighting the wrong battle. We were fighting the virginity battle instead of the purity battle. And there's a difference. And we unpack that whole thing in the entire chapter, which in this episode, we're going to play just a clip from the chapter.
Yeah, we're only going to play like a little 10-minute reading.
It's not the full chapter, but if you want to listen to the rest of it, you can download the audiobook or grab a copy of the physical book and read the rest. But
yeah, and I think the whole like us, you know, losing the purity battle, winning the virginity battle, it's such a testament to like how our culture has framed this debate. You know, like we're so obsessed with sexuality right now, and we've likened it to our identity. And virginity being obviously the pinnacle of that, we've kind of lost focus, in my opinion, on what the actual battle is, and that is the purity battle. And so then that begs the next question, which is like, well, what is purity?
Yeah.
You know?
And how do we fight that battle?
And how do we fight that battle?
Because like for Jer and I, we felt like we weren't totally equipped to fight that battle by the church. But then obviously culture is not telling us to fight that battle at all. So we're living in this like tension of just not knowing how to navigate the gray areas. It's like, okay, here's your purity ring and don't have sex until you're married. But then what about everything else? How do we navigate the rest? And so that's what we tried to unpack in this chapter of the book.
Yeah, definitely. And
like we said, we're real honest about our struggles with it. And
well, yeah, because it's like, this is one of those things that I don't want to say 100% of everyone, but literally 90% plus of people wrestle with this, struggle with this. And so there is a huge vacuum there in the conversation about how do we address this. And I think going back to the whole virginity versus purity thing, culture has separated the two. And virginity is a byproduct of purity. So we should be pursuing purity. before virginity. And so, you know, again, what...
Obviously, we're speaking to dating couples right now.
Obviously, we're speaking to dating couples, but even within marriage. Have sex if even you're within married, marriage, though. Like, we are called to be pure.
Yes, totally.
Because it's like, it's like once you get married and you're getting intimate and having sex and all these things, like that, you still have to fight the purity battle, mm-hmm. right? But you no longer necessarily need to fight that virginity battle. So again, virginity is just a byproduct of purity. Babe, yeah?
Hold I was going to read something. This was one of the quotes from our book that just framed that up really well. We were talking about how, our culture, we've said this before in previous podcasts, just about how our culture is so obsessed with planning and preparing for an epic wedding, but then they don't do anything to plan and prepare for an epic marriage. And so it's this idea of overvaluing a day and undervaluing the promise that is forever, that is every day till death do you part, right? And in the same way, I think Christians especially have overvalued virginity and undervalued purity. And yeah. That's something that we, you know, try to help fill in the gap a little bit in this chapter of the book. So
totally. And purity really is the, you know, if we're made in God's image, we're called back. We're called to be people, representative of that. Like we're called to be a holy people, the Bible says we're washed white as snow, right? And so we're supposed to live in that reality. And that is the purity battle, the righteousness battle, the holiness battle. Mm. And that's the battle we fight day in, day out, and we should be hell-bent on, if you will. And virginity is just a byproduct of that battle. Mm-hmm. And so culture has obviously made virginity the battle, but we got to get back to the purity battle, which is, I think, the battle that...
And like, what even is purity? You know, like, what does that look like? And how can we pursue it, you know, within marriage, but also just as individuals, like you were saying, babe?
Yeah.
So
this is just a conversation that we think needs to be had more. And, you know, in our book, we talk specifically just to relationships and stuff. Obviously, there's a massive theological, there's a lot of theological energy behind this thought and this process and how we do that and what is purity and all those things. But we're going to ground it down to our experiences and where we feel like we can kind of talk to it a little bit. But
yeah, and then one of the things that, if you're listening right now and you're like, purity, I've already messed up, I'm in a dating relationship, like, what's the point of even pursuing it now? Because, you know, I don't have, like, I think I wrote in the book something along, like, I was talking about a friend and how, you know, I have this friend who basically told me, well, I've already messed up. And since I don't have a quote unquote whole heart to give anymore, then there's no point in fighting for purity anymore because I've already messed up. And I love this Mary Pickford quote that hopefully is an encouragement to you if that's you and you're listening. It says, you may have a fresh start at any moment that you choose, for this thing that we call failure is not the falling down, but the staying down. And I think when it comes to purity, you can choose a fresh start too. It's the same thing. If you feel like you've messed up, whether you're in a relationship or not in a relationship or married or not married or whatever, you can have a fresh start at any moment you choose, because the failure is the staying down. It's the sorry after sorry after sorry. Yeah. That's the failure. You know what I mean? So
yeah. Well, and also that mindset is sitting on guilt. It's mm-hmm. saying, "Oh, yeah, I feel guilty, so because of this, I'm going to keep doing that." Instead mm-hmm. of sitting on the victor seat of like, "Whoa, you know, I may have done this, but I don't need to do this." Right. You know, that's kind of yeah. That's I think that's a good distinction on that as well.
And someone else told me this once, and I still can't for the life of me remember who said it, but God's grace makes the purity battle not about what you did with your body, but about what he did with his.
Yeah.
And not that that's an excuse for you to continue, you know, walking in sin, sorry after sorry, but just that, you know, if you have messed up, there is grace and there is a better way and you can walk in purity and freedom.
Yeah.
And that's also... We talk a lot about that in this chapter.
Yeah. And that's something I think that the church hasn't done too good of a job on, is like, they've made the purity battle so much about your future situation.
Yes. Yes.
And which is, you know, your husband or wife or whatever it may be. And they, that's like the whole point of the purity battle mm-hmm. in that struggle, when it's like the whole point is to be like Jesus mm-hmm. and be, you know, be whole before him, whole and holy before him. And like, that's the battle we should be fighting. And as I mentioned earlier, virginity is just a byproduct of that battle. So mm-hmm. we need to get back to, I think, like, who are we being pure for? Are we being pure for the Lord? Because we're made in his image and we're called to be people worthy and holy and we are washed clean and there's a lot of reality. And again, there's so much there to unpack, but mm-hmm. like, are we being whole or sorry, are we being pure for that reason? Or are we being pure because
it's God's
there's
design.
This like sexual, there's this sexual experience that's waiting for us if we remain pure.
Oh, like, I see.
Who's it about? Yeah, right. And I think we've culture and church and all these places, like we've made it about our sexual experience rather than why we're doing it, why we're being pure, which ultimately is for the Lord and to become the people we're meant to be, the people we were designed to be. And that, and when we live in that, obviously we're living life to the fullest. And we believe the Bible paints a very clear, amazing, beautiful picture of people not just pursuing that, but actually being pure and holy before the Lord and being welcomed home, good and faithful servant. And that's the purity battle. In its totality. But again, there's so much there. But we just want to start the conversation, really. And I don't think enough people talk about this. And like, if you are dating someone, I think it's a good idea to like have this conversation.
Yeah. And that's, I was just going to say.
And talk about, yeah, talk about porn, talk about viewing habits.
Because we have in our book, like, you know, if you are dating, like Jerry says, like a couple questions to ask if you're in a dating relationship. Like, here's some questions that you can ask about when it comes to purity, because we just feel like our generation isn't asking these questions. Like, they're getting married and they've never talked to their husband about if he's ever looked at porn. Like, they've never had that conversation and they've been married for years, maybe. Like, it's crazy that like we aren't set up for having these conversations.
Yeah,
that the church isn't doing a better job about setting us up for these, to have these conversations. And so like some of the questions that we put in the book are, you know, if you're in a dating relationship right now, like ask the person that you're dating, do you desire to wait for marriage? How were you raised to view purity? What does that look like? Have you been sexually intimate with somebody else in a previous relationship? Have you ever looked at porn? If so, when was the last time? Do you feel like you have people in your life that are holding you accountable to resist this temptation? Like having those conversations, asking those hard questions. We call it the illumination of the past in our book. But just like, you know, you have to illuminate the past so that you can better imagine for the future. And if you're not honest about those things, you know, early on, it's going to become a weight in your marriage that eventually is going to explode and hurt way more later. You think it might hurt now to have the conversation? It's going to hurt way more the longer that you wait to have it. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's good, babe. And this is definitely a conversation that people need to have, not just dating pre-marriage, but also within marriage. Like, you know, check, like for us, the marriage journal has been a nice check-in,
to have the honest, hard conversations.
So an opportunity to get anything off your chest or share anything that you might need to share and just discuss this purity battle and anything for that matter, like a sour attitude, you know, we can discuss that if we want. And, and the marriage journal has really been a pivotal weekly rhythm that we've implemented, that allows us to do that. And it's just a way of, this is how I've been like describing it lately. Like picture a bag of dynamite, like 10 years from now, it's just sitting there in the middle of the road. And there's this like fuse, right? And that fuse is all of the unsaid, unspoken, buried, left in the darkness things. But like every single Sunday with the marriage journal, we get a chance to clip that fuse.
Yeah.
Clip, clip, clip. And as you clip, that bag of dynamite gets smaller, 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 smaller until it's not even there.
Right.
And so it's just the purging of the valve, if you will. And so, I didn't intend to talk about the marriage journal so much.
Yeah.
But no, if you guys aren't doing the marriage journal, I would highly recommend at least checking it out or reading about it. Just go to themarriagejournal.com. It's a practice that, or it's something we self-published, and it's an amazing practice. You know, we have thousands of people doing it now, and it's really been a pivotal tool for communication for thousands of people. And if you haven't listened to our Herb or Chris and Jamie Herb podcast, we talk all about it in there as well. But I think we actually have a whole marriage journal podcast.
We do. From earlier in the season.
Yeah.
We actually read like one of our first entries of the marriage journal, and then we read from like that week or something.
I do remember that. Yeah.
That was a fun one.
But that's just a good tool that we use to kind of, you know, trim the hedge of the purity conversation. And
it's a protection tool.
Protection tool.
It helps protect our purity.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
So. Anyways, we might talk a little bit more after we play this short clip from our audiobook on the purity chapter.
Yeah.
We might talk briefly just after that. So stay tuned because we might have some more thoughts in a little bit.
And also, so as we get into this, we just wanted to frame this up by saying this is a huge, huge conversation. And maybe we'll bring in an expert one day and really unpack this. And if that's something you would like, let us know at Behind the Scenes Podcast Instagram. Just say, yes, bring in an expert. Let us know in the comments. And we'll try to find someone that fits the bill and really unpack some of these topics. But again,
or if you have someone in mind that you think would be good to bring in.
Yeah, tag them.
Don't just say yes, because that doesn't really help us that much.
Yeah, tag them. Like, let us know.
Tell us who.
Let us know who you want to bring on for sure. That being said, we just wanted to say this is a huge conversation and we tackle it from our experiences. Ultimately, and we're only going to be reading a short segment of this chapter.
It's the first section of
this
chapter.
The first section. And then obviously I have my section, and then Audrey has a whole summary section. Mm-hmm. And if you want to listen to the rest, get the book or the audiobook. So, okay, here we go. We're going to read the first section of the purity chapter. Or, I'm sorry, the first section of losing the purity battle.
We were virgins on our wedding night. But before you make us out to be unrelatable saints and skip this chapter, let me be real clear about something. Even though we won the virginity battle, we lost the purity battle. Sure, we saved the actual act of intercourse for marriage, and we're so thankful we did, but that's not even half the battle. I'm going to go out on a limb here and say, I don't think Jer and I are the only Christian couple who waited, but also messed around. Maybe I just described the dating relationship you're in right now. Maybe you found yourself hanging out in your boyfriend's bedroom late at night with candles lit and a glass of wine, tempted. Maybe you found yourself cuddling on the couch when no one else was home watching a chick flick, or should I say, making out? Or maybe you found yourself in tears the next morning, ashamed of your inability to keep your clothes on last night. Yes, I just said that. And yes, Jer and I found ourselves in each of these situations. There is a reason the Bible says if they cannot control themselves, they should marry, for it is better to marry than to burn with passion. 1 Corinthians 7:9. In the months leading up to our wedding day, we definitely burned with passion. To this day, Jeremy and I ache for our friends who choose to have long engagements, mostly for this reason. And yet many couples who are ready to get married put off their weddings for reasons that have little to do with their relationship and a lot to do with pressures and expectations driven by the media and the wedding industry. Everything must be dream come true perfect, right? So when the venue isn't available for another year and the dress won't come in for at least 6 months, the marriage is delayed for the sake of the wedding. Don't get me wrong. I loved planning an epic celebration, but I also think our culture has overvalued the day and undervalued the promise. In the same way, I think Christians especially have overvalued virginity and undervalued purity. In the Bible, purity means to be morally clean and without blemish. Pursuing purity essentially means to pursue holiness with our minds, hearts, and bodies. To be pure means to be guiltless, blameless, and innocent, to believe that God's ways are the best ways and to walk in them. And when we walk in purity, we are wholly available to God, ready to be used to accomplish His purposes. If your sexual past has left you feeling dirty, guilty, or impure, please hear this. God desires to wash you white as snow, Isaiah 1:18, to give you an undivided heart, Ezekiel 11:19, to renew a right spirit within you, Psalm 51:10. He delights to make you blameless and pure, without fault or blemish, Philippians 2:15, and free from guilt and shame. Jeremy and I were both raised in Christian homes. Our parents in the church engraved in our minds that sex before marriage was bad. If you were a guy, you were taught to respect women and keep your hands to yourself. If you were a girl, you were taught to save yourself for your husband, and perhaps you were given a purity ring. Beyond that, we didn't get much practical guidance. When it came to such issues as pornography, dirty dancing, and the rest of the bases, we were left to fend for ourselves. I was the oldest child of three and raised in a pretty sheltered home. For example, I didn't see a movie with a sex scene in it until I was a freshman in high school. I remember being so embarrassed that I was the only one of my friends who still hadn't seen The Titanic in middle school because I wasn't allowed to watch R-rated movies. While the rest of my friends were buying push-up bras, wearing makeup, shaving their legs, and figuring out how to use tampons, I was still flat as a board with a smile full of metal and no idea that getting to first base could refer to anything other than baseball. Needless to say, the oversexed reality of high school was a bit of a shock. I attended one of the biggest public high schools in Portland, Oregon, which is where I learned to grind. To you older folks listening to this, that is code for dirty dancing, and was dared to make out with a boy on my cross-country team on the bus ride home from a race. Taking the dare was my first kissing experience. Yikes. My point is that I was thrown into a world of lies about sex, purity, my body, and love. And that was nearly a decade ago, back in the days when MySpace had barely hit the scene and everyone still had flip phones that required you to delete your old text messages to make room for incoming texts. Remember that? Nowadays, middle schoolers have access to sex in the palm of their hands. And I don't mean a couple of dirty magazines under their beds. I mean they can watch virtually anything they want on their smartphones without anyone knowing about it. Hey guys, taking a quick break from this episode to tell you about our new book, A Love Letter Life. In case you still haven't heard, it is now available anywhere books are sold, and you can grab it on Audible if you are an audiobook listener. And whether you're dating, engaged, or married, we wrote this book for you. Wherever you're at in your love story, we believe that these pages will help you live your own committed, courageous, creative, and continuous love story. We hope that our story, with all its imperfections, will awaken your desire to pursue a love that reflects the thoughtfulness, intention, patience, beauty, and timelessness of a love letter. We believe the pages of this book will empower you to live the love story that you would want to have read back to you one day. A love story that is creative, intentional, faithful, and forever. And right now, it's still $12.20 on Amazon, which is absolutely insane. So if you want to take advantage of grabbing a book for 55% off, then go do that right now. We hope that it encourages you. By the grace of God, as a freshman in high school, I was introduced to a ministry called Young Life. Young Life is a Christian outreach ministry focused on building relationships with high school kids and earning the right to be heard. Where my parents and youth group pastors avoided conversations about purity, my Young Life leaders were willing to talk about it. My best friends and I started attending Campaigners, a weekly Bible study. Our Young Life leaders, who were in their early 20s, became a sounding board for all our gray area questions. I felt like I could trust them, which made it easier to ask awkward or embarrassing questions about everything that fell between holding hands and having sex. During one of our Sunday evening campaigners meetings, one of my leaders used a visual, a pink paper heart glued to a blue paper heart, to convey the serious consequences of sexual pleasure outside of marriage. She held up the pink side and said, "This is what your heart looks like when you protect your purity." Then she started to peel away the blue heart from the pink heart and said, "And here's what can happen when you don't." As she pulled the hearts apart, remnants of the blue heart stuck to the pink heart, and there were chunks of the pink heart stuck to the blue heart. The pink heart was also thinner and more fragile than before. It was the first time I really understood the ramifications of physical intimacy outside of marriage. It put a whole new perspective on Proverbs 4:23. Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. My Young Life leader went on to encourage us to pursue purity so we would one day be able to give our whole heart to our future spouse. Looking back, I still consider it a powerful illustration, but it also had at least two unintended and negative ramifications. The first was that it left my friends who had already slept with their boyfriends feeling overwhelming shame and guilt. It made them feel as if their heart would never be whole again, which is not true. I had a conversation with one friend who said, well, I've already messed up, and since I don't have a whole heart to give anyway, there's no point in fighting for purity now. If this is you, let these words from Mary Pickford sink in. You may have a fresh start any moment you choose, for this thing that we call failure is not the falling down, but the staying down. When it comes to purity, you can choose the fresh start too. The second negative consequence of the paper heart analogy is that it limits the purpose of purity to one's unknown future spouse, rather than casting the broader vision of purity as God's designed path for sexuality. A purity ring should not symbolize a promise to someone you don't even know yet. It should symbolize a promise to your heavenly Father, your Savior, your Redeemer, the one who knows all the ways you've messed up and yet loves you completely and calls you to a better way. A purity ring should be a reminder to receive God's promises and believe that His way is the most blessed path. That's why God's word cautions us to not arouse or awaken love until it so desires. Song of Songs 8:4. In other words, don't initiate the sexual part of your relationship until you can pursue it. If you're listening to this and you feel like your purity is lost or ruined, please hear this. God's grace makes the purity battle not about what you did with your body, but about what He did with His. If you repent, forgiveness is yours. Purity is yours. Wholeness is yours. The Bible often refers to God as our Redeemer. For example, Isaiah 47:4. He redeems our brokenness and makes us pure again. Redemption is an invitation from confinement to freedom, from anxiety to peace, from shame to dignity, from addiction to self-control, from selfishness to servanthood, from depression to joy, from complacency to growth, from disobedience to honor, and from sickness to health. Our Redeemer God wants to make you a new creation, 2 Corinthians 5:17. He wants to create a pure heart in you and renew a steadfast spirit within you. Psalm 51:10. And in case you're hearing this for the first time, I need to make one thing clear. There is nothing you or I can do to earn this gift of grace. We simply get to receive it and allow it to transform our lives.
All right. So as mentioned, that was just the first little section of this chapter.
And I wanted to read something. This is from later in the chapter. It's more towards the end of that chapter. So if you want to, again, listen to the rest of that chapter, you can download the audiobook or go grab a copy. But it says, no one sins on accident. We sin because we're walking the line. In dating and marriage relationships, we shouldn't be asking, where's the line and how close can I get to it? We should be asking, if there is a line, how far away can I stay from it? How wholeheartedly can I pursue purity? How can I keep my eyes from wandering? How can I have eyes solely for my spouse? Wrestling with these kinds of questions will help us establish boundaries so that we can win the purity battle before and after we say I do. And I think that that's an important thing that a lot of people, you know, especially in the church, they think, oh, I'm fighting the purity battle, in the dating relationship. We're trying to stay pure. We're waiting for marriage. We are virgins on our wedding night. Then they get married and they think that marriage is going to solve all of their temptation problems.
Yeah.
It doesn't.
No.
Newsflash. Still need to have protection, boundary, protection.
Like, you're the same person. You're the same person in marriage as you were.
Marriage changes you.
No.
But it doesn't
change. Yes, it does. But yeah, you are the same person after your wedding day as you were before.
Yeah. So
now,
if you struggle
obviously,
with things,
you're going to change dramatically, but you're going to be changing the same person you were.
Yeah. So if you just don't think that, like, you know, if you're struggling with temptation when it comes to purity before you're married, just know you're probably going to struggle with that in your marriage unless you work on it before you You're married. Like, marriage and, does not solve that
and
problem.
And you're not alone. Like,
yes,
literally millions of people are struggling with this as we speak, and it's just not talked about. Mm-hmm. So you might think you're on an island, you're the only person struggling with this, but no, there are. I mean, this is a real deal situation. It is the first line of attack for the enemy because it does so much destruction.
Yeah.
And I think to unpack... Well, what do you mean destruction? What does it do? Why? What is this whole purity versus virginity thing? Like, again, we're going to bring in someone and really unpack some of this. So get on our Instagram on the post about this episode and let us know who you want us to bring on, because we would love to do that as well. We want to learn with you guys, alongside you guys, bring you along the journey. So yeah, that's something we should definitely do. But
and also just, you know, in our book or in this chapter of the book, we try to give some practical things for especially dating and engaged couples, but also married couples. Just here's some practical ways, things that we have found helpful when it comes to protecting your purity, whether that's, you know, we talk about setting alarms, we talk about accountability from friends and mentors. We talk about like literally not putting yourself in circumstances that are going to lead to temptation. Just like putting a hard line at certain things or places or situations. You know, there's some more specific ones that are specific to dating couples, but we try to give lots of practical things in this chapter because I know that, like Jeremy said, a lot of people just don't talk about this and, you know, they give kind of like fluffy answers. And so we really wanted to like be honest and transparent with you guys about how we've struggled when it comes to this before marriage and in marriage. And then like, here's some practical things that we have implemented that have helped us overcome those struggles and have helped us pursue purity every day. And babe, if you don't have anything else to add, I was going to read this last little section of the chapter to then just close it out. But final thoughts from you.
No, yeah, that's good. I was just thinking, you know, yeah, it's just there's so much to unpack here. I want to get into it because this is so useful and stuff. But we're just kind of starting this conversation. And again, we're going to have a lot more about this if you guys want, you know, so let us know. But yeah, I don't really have anything else to add outside. You know, I do believe this is a big problem and it's really, really important because, again, we're pure because of who God said we are and who he told us to be. And we got to start shifting our mindset. Like, this isn't just about your spouse, your boyfriend, your girlfriend. This is about Jesus and what Audrey's mentioned earlier, what he did with his body, not what we're going to do with ours. We do with ours as a result of what God did with his. Like, he's the reason we chase purity. He said he outlined this way of life, and we believe it's the right way. And yeah, so that, I mean, I think that's a perspective shift a lot of us need to have. It's like, we're pure because we were in love with our creator, we're falling in love with him, and we want to live his way and ultimately become the people that he designed us to be. Not just because, like, you know, I got to be pure for my spouse. Mm-hmm. Yes, that's good, but that's a byproduct. That's my last final thought on that.
And I would just say, you know, before I read this final little thing, we challenge you guys to have this conversation. We challenge you, if you're dating, to talk to your boyfriend or girlfriend about purity, about these issues.
Let's talk about how to do that.
Yeah, that's true.
Like,
how do you do it though? There's no good time. And you say that in the book.
I know,
like,
there's
never
no
really
good time. It always sucks.
Yeah.
It's like, it's just this.
It's just a hard conversation to have. And and the enemy wants to prevent you from having that conversation. So
I think a good way to frame it up, though, is like, never, ever, ever bring it up on the day you actually want to have it. Like, what you need to do is you need to bring it up in this, like, hey, so like, I've been thinking about purity and, you know, virginity or whatever, however you want to bring it up. I don't know. But like, you got to bring it up. This is how I would do it, at least. Mm-hmm. And then I would say, and I think it's something we should probably talk about and like share some thoughts, and I don't really know what to say, but like, I think if we both bring like 5 questions to talk about, that might be a good way to start. And when would you want to do this?
Oh, you're icy. You're like planting the seed for the conversation later.
Exactly.
It's such a 9 thing.
No.
I need you to prep me then, so that I can
do
this.
No. I'm doing this because, like, last thing you want is like, you know, you sit down with your boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, spouse, fiance, whatever it is, and they're like ready to like I don't know, go swim in the pool or something because it's hot out and you're drinking lemonade in summer.
Evening.
Yeah, you just ruin the whole evening and expectations are all out the window.
Totally.
This is expectation management. So this
I think that's good.
Yeah, let's go on a date. You're back to my things. Like, sure, that sounds interesting. Like, or I think that would
don't
be.
Don't do it on a date though.
No. Yeah, no, a specific
well, like,
date.
Okay, yeah.
Like, yeah, that sounds interesting. Like, okay, well, let's like go on a date or go do something and intentionally set aside like a couple hours to have this conversation. Okay, like let's do it on the 14th of May. It's like, okay, so now you have like a couple weeks knowing this conversation's coming, you know, and you can kind of both go into it with clear expectations, a couple questions to ask, a framework for the discussion. And I think that protects this discussion really well.
Okay, now, that sounds great, babe. I'm just saying I don't want that to delay people from having the conversation. Like,
no, it's not delaying at all. It's actually planning for it.
I know, but
it's
sometimes
planning
people,
to have it.
I agree. I totally see that being great. But I also just think like it depends on the couple and the personality.
Well,
like you said. But
absolutely. Like that might not work.
Some
people want to jump in the room, pull out the guns and start firing. It's like, okay, yeah, that might work for them, for both of them. And they might love that. And it might be the best thing ever. You know,
I feel like, well, I mean, just speaking to our own situation and how we had this conversation, we were just on a long car ride and I just brought it up because my mentor had asked me, have you ever asked your boyfriend this?
Totally.
And I said, no. And so we were on a long car ride. I knew we had that set aside time. We may not have actually like planned it like you're saying, but
so
I knew
you need
kind
to frame
of that
this
it
as
was.
Another way to do it.
Yeah, I am. Like, yeah, I'm framing
that's
it as
another
way to do
it.
Do it. Like,
exactly.
I knew that we were going to have this time to talk. We weren't going to be around other people. It was a long car ride. And I just literally asked Jeremy like, hey, have you ever looked at porn? Like, this is probably an awkward thing to talk about. And I never would have thought to ask you this unless my mentor ask me to ask you, but I'm asking you. And then we had a conversation. So, you know, I think different couple, different folks, different strokes.
yes, definitely. And then also, you know, the whole, like the word porn is interesting, you know, because it has so much connotation there. But I discuss in my section of the book a lot of, you know, there's different levels to it. And ultimately, everything starts in the heart. And like, we're not going to be judged by necessarily what we do, but like, you know, how we think and the posture of our heart, you know? Mm-hmm. And so like you, again, porn doesn't need to be, I think there's a lot of connotations around that word.
You should talk about that a little bit before we.
Well, yeah, like you say that word and you think like, oh yeah, I don't look at porn, but it's like, have you ever found yourself scrolling on a social media feed of like, you know, risque images? It's like that could be classified.
Or taking a second look.
Yeah.
And it's not like, telling.
All of that falls under that word, you know, like it doesn't need to be some like explicit website that you hacked into to like classify as porn. So that's just a note I'll say there too.
It's
because
so funny.
A lot of guys that might be listening to this are probably writing this off like, oh, I've never been on one of those sites. It's like, no, I'm not talking about the website.
Yeah, we're not
like,
talking about that.
We're not talking about the websites. There's a lot in that word. And again, culture has packaged it up all nice and neat. So most people can forget about it, which is why this conversation isn't happening. Mm-hmm. So,
because if you say, and this is part of the reason, I mean, this is part of the reason why this was so hard to talk about, because talking about porn to culture goes, oh, you know, porn, they immediately think of like the crazy stuff,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Like, but oh, like, you, yeah.
But
yeah.
In the church, it's like,
yeah, so,
you know, as a believer, like,
Jesus,
if you look
at
a woman lustfully, you've already committed adultery in your heart.
Yes, so. Jesus came to abolish the law, right, to fulfill religion, but he also raised the bar, like raised the standard. And so he came and did both and. And so, anyways, we're rambling at this point. Babe, you want to finish the last?
Okay, I'm going to read the closing part of this chapter just to kind of sum up some of our thoughts here. So, don't let culture's devaluation of purity tempt you to deviate from God's way. Have the awkward conversations, set up boundaries, and run away from the line. Whether you're single, dating, engaged, or married, the purity battle is one you'll likely fight for the rest of your life. And the battle is only growing more monstrous with the increasing accessibility of porn, the rise of sex and nudity in TV and movies, the growing percentage of workplace affairs, the ease of secretly communicating with a friend of the opposite sex, the decline of modesty, and the ability to escape to an alternate world of the palm of your hands. I don't say this to discourage you, but rather to emphasize the importance of arming yourself with protection for the battlefield. The good news is God gives us full armor to be more than conquerors, Be confident and encouraged that you are fighting for God's way, and His ways are higher than our ways. His design for purity before and within marriage is for our good and His glory. When we choose to live into this design, it is pleasurable, fruitful, exciting, full of joy, breathtakingly beautiful, and worth it. Remember God's promise. When you are tempted, He will always show you a way out, 1 Corinthians 10:13. So when you see the light shining into your darkness, run towards it. Keep fighting the good fight, finish the race, and keep the faith. 2 Timothy 4:7.
Thanks for listening to this episode, you guys. I know it was...
kind of a heavy one.
Kind of a heavy one.
But so, hopefully a helpful one too. And as always, let us know thoughts, comments, questions on the podcast Instagram account, Behind the Scenes Podcast.
And let us know on this episode who you want us to talk about on this show concerning this topic. I think it'd be really
good. We'd love to know if you know other people that can speak to this. Yeah, totally.
Yep.
One thing we wanted to let you guys know, or rather encourage you to do, is if you have listened to A Love Letter Life on Audible, or you have read the physical copy of the book, would you please take just 1 or 2 minutes to go to Amazon or wherever you bought the book and leave a review? Yeah. It can be as simple as just like clicking the 5-star button or whatever. But just that really helps other people that, you know, might be on the fence about reading this book, get the book into their hands, yeah, and help them see how it might help them wherever they're at in their love story. Yeah. So if it's impacted you, encouraged you, inspired you, or given you hope, then please go and just take a second to leave a review on Amazon or Audible or wherever you purchase your book. We would be so, so grateful. We read them and they are so encouraging. And also, you know, a lot of people that don't read this book are reading them too, and they're encouraged. And we're sharing them all the time on our Instagram accounts, and people are so encouraged by them. So if you can just take a second to do that, that would be incredible.
Yep. And leave an honest review, because there's, you know, people see, they see honesty, they see dishonesty. So that'd be amazing. What do we have coming up, babe? Anything?
See you guys next week, next Tuesday.
All right. Well, we don't. Okay. See you next Tuesday.